Welcome to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast. We're so happy you're here today to learn about how to create fresh perspectives on profitability, people, productivity, and finding peace in your small business. And today, we're going to dive into profitability with a very fresh perspective, something that you probably don't expect. And I can't wait for us to get there, but I should start at the beginning. So hello, business rock stars. My name is Maggie Mongan. And if you're a regular listener, you know I'm your host for today. I'm a tenured master business coach and growth strategist for about 20 years. I am the CEO of Brilliant Breakthroughs, Inc., the coaching practice that specializes in guiding business performance to have it optimized, as well as leadership performance optimized. And I'm all about improving the underserved small business sector, as all of our guests are. And I honestly believe that small businesses are the accelerant of our economy, so much so that inadvertently, I ended up founding a number one best-selling business book series for small businesses. But don't worry, we'll share that in a moment or two. What is key here is, most importantly, like all good things that come together, I didn't do it alone. I invited tenured experts to join me in the authoring process. And today we have with us one of our tenured experts, a number one international best-selling business author, Julie Craig.
Ooh,
the crowd goes wild. Wow. Woof, woof. And it's really important for all of you to know who Julie Craig is, because she is a CPA in a public accounting who specializes in customizing services for the small business owner, as well as non-for-profit and governmental entities to help them grow and succeed. If you want to know more about that, in Julie's last episode, which was the second one in her mini series here, episode 226, she explained what all that really means. So check that out. But for now, a big welcome to you, Julie.
Hello. Thank you, Maggie. It's great to be here today.
Yeah. And welcome back. We're in part three of your mini series here. And you have done something really phenomenal. You wrote in the fifth volume in our series, and our series, just so everybody gets that, is titled Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner. And the subtitle is Fresh Perspectives on Profitability, People, Productivity, and Finding Peace in Your Business. The titles are the same. What can help you identify which volume we're talking about is they all have different colors. So volume 5, which is what Julie penned a chapter in, is a beautiful turquoise covered book. And it's so awesome. Julie, your chapter is titled Numbers, and then you have the plus sign, 5 essential keys equals profitability. Of course, you would do a mathematical formula. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so we've been unpacking all the goodness that you have to offer, and you're sharing quite a bit that's not even in your chapter as well through your little mini series here. But I'd like to dive into asking you some questions. You ready?
Absolutely. I would love to, Maggie.
Okay, let's go and give the floor to you. Let's start at the beginning, because I know it's been a little while since you've been here, and I'd like for you to share a little bit about yourself and your thoughts regarding numbers, because it's very different.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me on the show, Maggie. And I'm Julie Craig, as you mentioned, CPA and managing partner of a firm called Gordon J. Meyer & Company. That's been around since 1935. I obviously have not been around since 1935. I know this is a podcast and you can't see me, but trust me, I have not been around since 1935.
That is true.
but I am honored to represent a company that has such a great legacy that Mr. Meyer started back then. And I'm looking forward to being part of this company's 100th anniversary celebration. So today I'm thrilled to be here as an author in the newest edition of the Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owners series. And I need to say it's been a complete delight and honor. You know, yes, I'm a CPA in public accounting. More importantly, I love tailoring services for the small business, nonprofit, governmental entities. As you had mentioned, I love seeing them grow and I love seeing them succeed. And oftentimes the non-numbers person, numbers for them can be nothing more than a headache. I love being part of public accounting profession for 20 plus years because it offers me this opportunity to work with many different entities. And what I do get from people quite a bit is, you know, why is my company not profitable, right? You know, that's one of the very common questions. So after years of helping with these businesses, look at their numbers, they're of course very important, but focusing exclusively on the numbers doesn't guarantee success. It also does not guarantee profitability. So that's the reason it's such a delight to be part of this book series and discuss some of the areas and impact that can impact profitability past the numbers, let's say.
Well, I agree with that. And I'm so thrilled that you were able to join us for our final volume because I've been looking for a CPA with a fresh perspective since volume one. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a real gift.
Honestly. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So there's a quote that you would like to talk about because this is one I've heard you say before. Can I share it?
Yes.
Okay. It's a famous quote by Brian Herbert, and it states, "The capacity to learn is a gift. The ability to learn is a skill. The willingness to learn is a choice." And I should probably repeat that. The capacity to learn is a gift. The ability to learn is a skill. The willingness to learn is a choice. So, Julie, you wrote about the five essential keys that impact profitability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those five keys are passion, which you talk about in episode 226.
Yes.
And then we have essential key two and three that we're going to address today. Key two is the willingness to learn. And we're going to combine that with key three about adapting and pivoting. So I just revealed to everybody what we're going to talk about. Okay. But most importantly, you know, let's talk about this essential key number two that you discussed in chapter two of volume five. You want to just jump in and start talking about willingness to learn?
Yeah, I love that. Love that, you know, we are kicking this off with such a great quote, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. It's such a great quote. Because sometimes we forget, right? That capacity to learn really is a gift. I'm very active in giving back through organizations such as Rotary, which have blessed me with the opportunity to visit countries like India and Nigeria and Uganda and Ethiopia. But what we can often lose sight of is that global picture, right? We're really blessed that we have so much access to education here in the United States, even free education, right?
Right.
In some countries I visit, the families have to make a choice. They may not be able to send their children or all their children all the way through school or even to school, right? And, you know, for us, think because of how many access we have, whether it's, you know, the library system that's been created in the United States to just the access on the web that we have to information, let alone our structured school systems and our higher education, right?
Mm-hmm.
So much. The other side I see is that times we, you know, at times when we create labels for ourselves, that I'm not the one of those educated type persons. And my dad never got himself through high school because his family was so poor. He is one of those people that will say, you know, he's not very educated. Yet all the years that I've known him, the ways in which he has self-taught himself and educated himself to weld so many things from, you know, hobby. This was hobby items that he welded outside of work. And he did this all the way during his work years through his retirement. to the point that he welded two entire merry-go-rounds and a Ferris wheel. So that's
Oh my gosh, project,
right?
That's huge.
Yeah, big, right? And you know, we may not have a high, you know, a high school education. He himself may not have a high school education. But that said, he didn't have any formal engineering designs to create the items he welds. He simply studied the objects that he, you know, had come into encounter with and figured out how does he successfully, you know, create that. And he went on to not only be successful at creating them, but even winning at 4th of July parade competitions. Mm. So besides welding, he's also an incredible poet and a painter, despite not having, you know, received any formal lessons. So through having seen what my father has done, we all can develop the skill for the ability to learn. We just need to remember learning comes in all forms. As a college graduate, I'm not advocating that we don't need formal education. I'm simply saying the skill of learning is much broader than formal education. So if you have not had the privilege of formal education, that doesn't mean that you can't learn, right? Which leads us to this last part of the quote choice, right? It always comes down to choice. Choices we make, right? In our lives, each and every day. One of my favorite mentors, Tim Flieger, he always says the amount of time in a given day has not changed and will not change tomorrow or the day after that. So since you know exactly how much time you will have from day to day, your choice is how do you want to spend the time you are given? And I love, you know, that saying that he says, because oftentimes America, you know, where we are, we have access to so much. We like to shift the reason for things not happening externally is because we have no control, right? I'm so busy that I don't have time is a famous line, right? I don't have time to read that book. I don't have time to study that subject. I don't have time to take that course. I don't have time to, you know, work with a mentor and learn from someone who's more knowledgeable. When in fact, we have always known how much time we have. We just need to choose how we want to use the resources we have with the time we have. And if you're a business owner who's considering being a, you know, whether you're existing, I should say, or you're going to consider opening a business, you know, take time, you know, learn in more areas that can help your business grow and succeed if that's your goal. For we always make time for the things that are most important to us, right?
Well, I agree with that completely. And one thing that's really fascinating, we all seem to forget, is that time is a resource. Mm-hmm. And we get to put our value upon it and what we value into it. Mm-hmm. So I love your point that Tim says it's a choice. We know what it is. We just have to make the choice of how we're going to spend it. And that's dependent upon what we value most becomes our priority. So thanks for bringing that back around. And I love that it comes into the context of profitability, right? And learning. So we have this really cool opportunity because we're touching on a couple different topics today in this episode. The other one is adaptability. Can you tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on adaptability as it relates to profitability? Wow, big words here.
I love it. When you talk about adaptability, you know, it sometimes can be this thing where people squirm in their seats or they shift, right?
Yeah, totally.
Right. And oftentimes we have had, you know, to adapt in our lives because we're forced with change and no one enjoys being forced to change. Let's take the past couple of years, right? We were all forced to deal with COVID, whether we wanted to deal with it or we didn't. And dealing with COVID, we were forced to adapt our lives in ways we never expected. For some of us, we rolled up our sleeves and said, okay, what's next? And others, it became a real halt or a pause or a look at it and like, now what? So regardless, you know, I think of your approach, we all had to deal with what did not come, you know, what was it that came next from the lockdown periods, right? To the face masks, to the vaccinations. And I still always remember going to my very first networking event after the lockdown. And there was a gentleman who wore the required face mask in order to be at the gathering. But over that, he had put this Halloween mask and he had the greatest 30-second pitch you'd ever want to hear. And everybody was laughing hysterically by the time he was done, right? And, you know, he used it as an opportunity to help everybody laugh during what was really a tough time for so many of us. And there's an example of someone who made a choice to not only just adapt, but practice one of my other favorite sayings, you know, don't just survive, thrive, right? He had decided he was not going to let the situation, you know, remove his opportunity to still have joy and laughter in his life.
That's a great example of how we can make our own choices and show up and create our own reality, right? Mm-hmm. And in your chapter, you talk about adaptability, and this obviously is something more relevant that we all can relate to. So thanks for bringing that forward. Should we go one more round?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go for it.
Okay. Because adaptability is important, but can you give some specific ways that business owners can practice adaptability in their own business?
I would love to, Maggie. Cool. You know, and I think it's just because all these years, you know, working in public accounting, right? Generally, when a business owner is struggling with their business, there are six main areas they can take a look at. The vast majority of times, it will boil down to one or more of those areas having shifted out of alignment and needing to be adapted or pivoting with them. And one of my favorite business owners, Sandra Yancey, calls them the six P's of running your business, which include people, product, process, priorities, performance, and plate. So quite a mouthful, right? But it's so important for business owners to remember a business is its own living, breathing entity, similar to how we discussed in our last podcast. You know, when you start up your business, you're birthing a baby that will require your time, attention, and skills. And the living, breathing entity of that business as it grows and changes over time can shift in various ways. And you may need to analyze and make sure you have the right people, right, that fit the team to get you where you need to go. And the people necessary to make your business successful when it started sometimes may not be the same people later. And I'm in a business that's aiming for a 100-year anniversary. You know, we clearly in our history had people in our history who had to be experts at typewriters. Remember typewriters, right?
Yeah. Thanks for the blast from the past.
So clearly today, we're not staffing experts utilizing typewriters as a main business function and the advent of computers, right? Mm-hmm. So granted, that's an obvious, but sometimes it can be more subtle. You know, you may be trying to grow your business or change the products or services that the people on your team may not like changed or want things to stay the same way that they are. And after trying to go through a learning process, they refuse to change or support the directions that the business is heading. And this can also create a lot of cost and misalignment to reach your goals. And so it's important to, you know, take a look at that people, that first one we mentioned, that people aspect, you know, because they may be not the right fit at that time for the business that you may need to move on and find the people that are going to help you get there.
Julie, first of all, congratulations on being the managing, you said partner?
Yes.
Of a soon to be 100-year business. Wow.
Yep.
What an accomplishment.
It's been an honor.
Yeah, congratulations, because steering that ship must involve quite a few muscles. Are you at the gym every morning?
Not quite every morning, but yeah, I can do that too, right?
Okay. I love this because it's practical and it's fun to think about your numbers in a different way, because you said people. And typically people, we don't throw in the number profitability category until we're on a spreadsheet, right? Mm-hmm. So here you are sharing that. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the other five P's relate to profitability?
Yeah, absolutely. The next is product. My friendly reminder there is you know, you may have started your business on a product or a service that was successful. Don't be afraid to try new things, you know, adapt if needed with the markets. The third one is process. You know, process oftentimes is the one that's most overlooked. Oftentimes it's easy to get ourselves all wrapped up into a system that works really well and it gets to be that groove for us. But as a company changes and grows, it's easy to forget to look at how things are done. And oftentimes we are challenged as a business owner to be innovative. And the aspects of innovation can carry into the process that you use within your company. You know, even our business, we found ways that in which something may seem like only a few minutes checking something, But when we looked at that process, right, when we added up those few minutes over thousands of tax returns, it's a lot of time that can be put to better use, providing more services to our clients' needs. And if we design a process in a way that's more efficient, as well as thorough, right, we gain that benefit of being able to provide those better services to the client's needs. Fourth is priorities. Keeping that clear sense of vision for your company. There are lots of opportunities in this world. You know, sometimes those opportunities may not align best with that vision and mission that you've set for your company. And can you have, you know, what they call mission or vision creeping happening into areas that you never intended in ways from you never planned to be? Example in public accounting, you know, many firms become aware of this opportunity that's available to make commissions off of selling securities and investments. If that's part of your vision of what you want to do in your future, great. I'm not saying that a public accounting firm shouldn't, but when we took a look at it and the opportunity, we realized that both the owners of this firm, as well as the staff who were working with us as we looked at our vision and mission, really love providing those services of payroll, audit, tax, bookkeeping, and business valuations. And so there were more opportunities actually when we studied it to actually work around that area we were already passionate about to grow the company. And so branching into selling investments for the sake of the profits didn't really align well with where everybody's, you know, passion, vision, mission, and focus was for the company. So not providing those services allows us to provide tax advising around those investments without any potential impairment of independence, which is really important for us and our values and our mission. So the last two, performance and plate, it's always good to look at performance, but I always say to people, look at that performance from a client's point of view, right? Is the company's meeting, you know, is what the company is doing meeting the client's needs? So from their perspective, right?
Right.
And lastly, plate, where plate is always best to look at it from a personal point of view. Are things on my plate, my time that I'm spending helping my company grow or shrink?
So plate is all about us. Mm-hmm. Okay. Love that. Your point about performance, it's great, but is it meeting your customers' needs is so overlooked. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I see it all the time. So I imagine if I'm seeing it, you're seeing it.
I think that sometimes people just get so excited about what they're delivering. They're so focused on how can I deliver this and how can I deliver that better, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of flipping the coin and finding out, well, what are they seeing, right?
What do they want? What do they need? Yes. Yeah. And it's when you flip that, that's where the magic is, and it boosts your profitability considerably. So I imagine you and I are playing the same game just from a different side of the coin, right?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. All right. So thanks for going through what the six P's are, because I think they are very important for people to look at. There's so many cool frameworks like that. So I appreciate you introducing a new one to our podcast. So when we started out our session today, we were talking about learning, and you know, we sure had a wonderful conversation with plenty of learning involved in it. So as we close today, because, you know, we're running short on time already. I can't believe that. Can you?
Yeah, it's gone by fast.
Yeah. What are your final words that you have for our listeners today regarding the whole learning and adapting and pivoting conversation?
I would just simply say, don't be afraid to fail. And that's how we learn, right? We talked a lot about learning and areas to look at it, your business, which may require some learning or challenge how you looked at your business, but don't be afraid if something's not working. The key is to pick yourself up and learn from those mistakes. And sometimes those failures can be the greatest gift that you have. There are many businesses out there that will say their success is because of their failures. And if you ever in need of a little advice after a failure, be sure to check out the brilliant Breakthroughs app. It has so many fantastic podcasts archived on it for a resource.
It sure does. Thank you. And I will echo that. Experiment, experiment, experiment. Find it and have fun doing it.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So should we give a tickler into what your next topic is?
Absolutely.
It's your key, essential key number four.
Yeah, integrity. I think that's going to be a really great one to talk about, really. It's really, I think it's a buzzword we talk a lot about, but it'll be interesting to dig a little bit deeper in it.
It will, and it will be interesting to look at it through the lens of profitability. So can't wait. Yay!
Thank you so much, Maggie.
Well, thank you. And listeners, this is how you can learn more, engage with number one international best-selling author Julie Craig. Start by reading chapter 2 in volume 5 of the book Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner. That's the turquoise covered one. And at the end of Julie's chapter, she has an invitation for you to improve your business's performance. It's all about how you can simplify your small business success. And Julie, would you like to share what that invitation is?
Yeah, in the there is a web link in the back of my chapter in order to join our Facebook profitability challenge that we're going to be holding. So you can find out some more information there at the back of my chapter in the book.
Okay, and we'll also have those show notes. That link in the show notes as well. It's already there waiting to go. And Julie, I think there's one more important thing that we want to share is Julie's sharing a lot of her wisdom today, but by all means, if you have questions, you need to be asking your CPA. So this is like our disclaimer here, okay? Because your business is unique, correct?
Right. Every business is unique. And at the end of the day, I may not know exactly all the nuances with your specific business, which is why I think it's great that you even, if you have a CPA and that you're consulting with them, because they are a great resource.
Beautiful, beautiful. I just want to make sure that we put that out there for everyone and make it really clear. But there's something that's really cool. Right now, you can see everything about the book series, all of the authors, and even how to get a hold of Julie specifically if you have a question for her. You can download the book's free app, which is Brilliant Biz Book, Brilliant B-I-Z Book. And once you download that, you can see that we have a feature that's Ask an Expert. And you can scroll through and find Julie Craig's name and click on her name and type a question. It'll be an email. She'll get it and she'll answer your question or suggest you have a conversation depending upon what it is you're asking. But I think that's pretty cool that we offer that. So thank you, Julie, for sharing your expertise again.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here, Maggie.
Yes, we appreciate your time and your wisdom sharing and look forward to episode 4 in your mini series.
Thank you so much, Maggie.
All right. And listeners, we appreciate you listening to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast, where you learn about how to create more brilliant breakthroughs for your small business. Shine brightly until next week.